And there's so many times that we get our eyes off of the Lord and we get our eyes off of Calvary, and we need to be reminded to go back and to remember why we do what we do. And I want to preach somewhat on that line. And we're going to continue through our book of the book of Luke as we're on our series. If you turn to Luke chapter number 10, we'll begin in verse number 38 as you find your place in Luke chapter 10. I did hear this story about this lady that she put a listing on for almost a brand new Porsche for sale. A very nice car, and she put on there $10. Now, most people just thought, well, that's a scam. I'm certainly not going to go. But one guy said, oh, well, you never know until you ask. And so he went to look at it, and he said, now, what's the gimmick? It's got to be something. He said, oh, no, that's just what I want for it. He said, no, there's got to be something. And then she started. She said, well, I've never liked my brother-in-law. And the guy's like, well, okay. He said, he's a cheat. He's a thief. I don't like him. He's never nice to me. And I just really can't stand him. He said, well, okay, I understand, but I don't know what that has to do with anything, but what's the gimmick? And she said, no gimmick. And she said, my husband died in his will. He said to sell the Porsche and give the money to his brother. So, in Luke chapter number 10, the Bible says, verse number 38, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. As we look at this story, it's a familiar one, and so I'll just bring a couple facts out as we get started. A very familiar story, but remember this, that both ladies welcomed Jesus. You find that in verse number 38, Martha received him into her house. And we also know not only did they both welcome Jesus, but they both loved Jesus, because this was Martha's way of showing that love, was by serving and doing. There's other passages in the scripture where you'll see that she's just somebody who engages. She's the one that when Jesus came back and Lazarus, their brother, had died, she spoke right up and she was telling the Lord how to do it then too. And some of us are that same way. Lord, this would be a great way to do it. This one little boy was talking about the return of the Lord. He says, if Jesus doesn't come back real soon, he's going to miss a great chance. So we often tell the Lord how to do things. And so we see that both ladies loved and welcomed Jesus. But the problem was getting our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I remind you that in today, that is so easy to do. As easy as it was back in that day with Martha. So as I preach through this passage, I'd like for you to see in verse number 38, they start the startup here in hospitality. Martha wants to put on an event that Jesus is coming. It came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and there was a certain woman named Martha. She was presumably the oldest. It was listed that it was her house, and she welcomed Jesus into her house. And so she wants to put on an event. This is obviously her go-to way of showing somebody that she wants to help them. You know what it's like to have company come and you hear about it. Maybe somebody lets you know, gives you a little heads up, and so you start throwing stuff under beds. You start throwing stuff under covers. It looks like you're going into a war zone when you start, but you're trying to shove and push, and you lean into that closet because it's got so much stuff in there, and you step away from it. You can hear that door creaking because it's ready to pop open at any time, and you've got your kids here, there, and they're doing everything and anything, and they're just running wild trying to straighten up, and then your kid's heart rate's up to 175. Everybody's about three-fourths of the way exhausted. And then you hear the doorbell ring, ding dong. And then you go to there and you open it up. You say, oh, if I'd known you were coming, we'd have cleaned up. We know what it's like to try to be hospitable. And so Martha, she's that way. She is doing all that she can to make it. In today's vernacular, you say the pots and the pans were banging and clanging, and things were going about like you ladies. You've got a husband that once a year, if you're lucky, he tries to get in that kitchen and do something. But you almost wish he wouldn't, because he makes so much noise and so much mess. You just say, ah, forget it. And now some are a lot more helpful than that. But I know this, that what we don't like to do, whenever we do it for somebody, if we're not careful, we want to make sure that they definitely know what we just did for them. And we went to great discomfort for ourselves to do it. So we have Martha. She's wanting to serve. It's not unlike somebody maybe in the church or in some organization, a church here that says, well, I want to help. And so she begins in the nursery or he begins somewhere else. And he starts in the kids' church or starts in the usher and starts here and starts serving here and there. And everything is fine, but something that we're all susceptible to happens to Martha. And Martha quits thinking about Jesus, who she's supposed to be serving for. And she starts looking at what other people aren't doing. It happens the same in this building right here. You get convicted and you say, you know, I ought to be in church. And I'm a firm believer. You know, I'm the pastor. I believe Christians ought to be in church. You say, well, I ought to start going to church. And you start hitting miss once in a while and then hit. And then you say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go every Sunday. And so here you sit and you're here and you're just loving the Lord. Say, I want to go and sing and I want to pray and I want to praise and I want to fellowship and I want to hear the word. I want to do all of it. And so you start coming and you're enjoying it so much until you start looking around and say, well, why isn't so-and-so here? And we quit doing what we're doing for the Lord and we start doing it to be seen of people. And then we, worse than that, we start looking and saying, well, why aren't other people doing the same thing I do? An evangelist friend of mine, as he does a lot of children's ministries and different things, he says, the question is, why do you do the things you do and who do you do them for? Do you do them for the praise of men or do you do them for the Lord? And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, if we would get to a place where much of what we do is only to be seen. But Martha starts off in hospitality, but we see in verse number 40, we see the forgetfulness of Martha. We see the forgetful hostess. But Martha was cumbered. She was burdened down, cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? That's so strange of a question. The disciples use that same one. Lord, don't you even care? You're talking to the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah that came to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, don't you care? Of course he cares. But Martha is having a blast serving. That's, again, the way that she shows her love. It's like people around the church, they do certain things, or maybe people around your house or people in your office. There are certain things that they're good at, and they show their care for other people that way. That's in that fashion, and that's just the way that they live. It's like the little story about the show and tell they had at school. This little young boy, Jewish boy, he stood up and he says, I'm Jewish. My name is Levi, and this is the Star of David. They're going to tell about his religion, and the Catholic boy says, well, my name is Joseph, and this is a crucifix, and started telling about that. And then the little boy, the last one, got up. He says, well, my name is Bobby. I'm a Baptist, and this is a casserole. That's sometimes how we show that we care about people. And we do it right here. We got a great basket the other day, some delicious pears, and somebody wanted our family to know that they loved us. And so we do that we do those things because we are showing people that we love them in the way that we know how to. And so Martha did that very thing. Started off great. But again, the problem is that she was a forgetful hostess and she forgot why she was doing what she was doing. Do you remember that message to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Oftentimes we'll start off strong like Martha did, but we find ourselves forgetting why we did the beginning things. Read a story, supposed to be true, but an Armenian king years and centuries ago was captured by the Romans. And he was brought before the emperor, this king that had been captured. And he said, I will not beg for my life, but I beg you to spare my wife and my children. Well, the emperor was so moved that he not only spared the wife and the children, but he also spared the king. And so after they were released, of course, stripped from all status because they'd been captured, but the former king asked his wife, did you see the beautiful tapestry in the building that we were in? And she said, I did not. Said, you see the royal garments that the court had on? No. Did you see the golden throne that was there so beautiful? She said, no, I didn't see anything except for you, the person that loved me, willing to sacrifice himself for our family. And so when we get our eyes on the right thing, and we see what really matters, then we don't become like Martha. Instead, we continue to serve the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him and beneficial to us and fulfilling to us as well. But the forgetful hostess got to a place where she forgot why she was in that kitchen, let's say, to begin with. There's nothing wrong with being in the kitchen. The Lord doesn't reprimand her for that. He does rebuke her because she is upset at her sister for being in with the Lord. Brings me to my final point. Look at verse number 41. We see the reminder from Jesus. Jesus answering said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're worried about all these things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Look at the kindness as Jesus sets forth to Martha, and He wants to set her straight. It's almost as if, it's not in the scriptures there, but it's almost as if Jesus said, Martha, a sandwich would have been fine if you just come on in here and sit and listen like your sister. There was a wonderful family that a couple, an older couple, retired couple, that would have our family when Dad was pastoring, and they would have us over the house. Very simple, very salt of the earth, good, wonderful family. They were the ones that he set out a big garden, and he told my dad, I said, Dave, that's for you, Pastor, that's for you, that row and that row's for you and your family, and these ones are ours over here. He took good care of us. But I remember we would go over the house, and they would just have us very simple. They weren't going to a lot of extravagant expense or trouble. They just have us over and want to have the pastor and his family, and we would get to snack. I remember it was the first time that I remember they ever had Pringles, you know, the can of potato chips. I thought, oh man, this is glorious. You know, my some of the adults, their hands were too big to fit down in there, but I was the guy. I would just reach all the way down there to the end. So I thought it was wonderful. But that couple didn't worry so much about impressing us or giving a lot of big and wonderful things, just wanted to do some hospitable things for a young family. And so it sticks in my mind so much so that I tell you this story today. And so as I tell you that story today, it reminds me that it's not the expensive or the fancy or the greatly involved things that matter, it's the people. And there are lots of people who around the church, around events, around different situations that they start off doing something because they want to help out, but then they become their own worst enemy and they want to do more and more and more. And the problem is before long, as they do more and more, they get disgusted at the people who aren't doing anything. And so sometimes we look at the other people and say, well, why aren't you doing it like I'm doing it? And so Jesus gives that rebuke to say, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're worried and anxious about many things, but this was needful. Look back in verse number 39, if you will, and look at what Mary was doing. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus, sat at Jesus' feet, and heard His word. Well, you can't fault somebody for that. It was needful. And so I thought about this as we close this morning. The Bible talks about what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Now, of course, that would be specific to a person that's unsaved. And what if you were the most successful man or the most successful woman ever and you lost your soul and didn't make heaven and went to hell? It wouldn't matter. Well, that principle in some form or fashion can be applied to a believer that is on their way to heaven. You do know your sins are forgiven. You do know Christ is your Savior. But you're chasing after things in this life that don't matter. What if you gain every one of your objectives, but you miss the things that really matter? There will be a time in many of our lives, if God so designs it, that as we get ready to leave this world, He gives us a little time for reflection. As always, you don't have that, but if you do. And what will it be that you'll look back on and say, I shouldn't have wasted my time with that. I should have instead done this. And so the Lord reminds Martha that this thing that Mary is doing, it's needful. It's eternal. You and I need to place the value on things that really matter. Sometimes our bodies are so busy and our heart is not in what we're doing. We have long since forgot the reason why we were doing something because we've taken our eyes off Jesus. A missionary was being helped into his mission site in Africa years ago, and he had hired some locals and through an interpreter was speaking to them to take him way back in to a remote area. He was an excited missionary. He wanted to get to where he was going, and he said, let's go. And so they went, and they traveled hard for the first day and then got up early and traveled hard the next day. Several days they did this. One day he got up, but nobody else was up, and he told the translator to tell the men, let's go. And the translator told the missionary, who was so excited to go on, he says, we're not moving today. The men said that they need to wait a day to let their souls catch up with their body. And you know that sometimes our bodies are active doing this, that, and the other, but our soul, our heart, our spirit is not where it should be as we do it. I give you this last thought, and that's this. The ending would be that Martha was not wrong for serving. Not at all. We need servants today. We needed servants that day. Well, we need servants today. We need missionaries. There's people right here in this room that have given their lives to take the gospel around the world. We need missionaries. We need teachers. We need servers. We need all of that. Martha wasn't wrong because of her service. She was wrong because she forgot why she was doing it. She forgot to remember that the reason why you do everything you do is for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're finding yourself like Martha, maybe in your family, church, somewhere else, and you're cumbered about much serving, you're just overwhelmed by it. It would be the same in a marriage. You start off and in that marriage, it's so wonderful. You just want to do what you can to help that spouse, that husband, that wife of yours. Maddie's boyfriend, fiance, is on an internship out in California. And so Maddie is playing a service for us yesterday, and he was singing. And she said, oh, isn't he so wonderful? I said, he's not that great, Maddie. And so as you're so excited about that, and then you're ready to get married, and boy, you just want to do all you can to show them. But something happens sometimes in marriages. You forget, not only should you not be only serving that spouse of yours, you should be serving beyond that spouse of yours and serving Jesus Christ by serving your husband, serving your wife. But sometimes we forget why we're doing what we do. And then we get into that grind. And then not only do we forget, but then we get critical of the other person that in your estimation is not doing as much as you are. You see how our motives get us so messed up? Again, Martha wasn't wrong. Mary wasn't wrong. The problem was Martha forgot why she was serving. And maybe you've done that. Maybe you've been busy, your spouse. You've been busy in some area. You've been busy somewhere. But you've forgotten why you do. I want to boil it down to a Christian. The reason we do everything we do is for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I'm going to work tomorrow. I know. To provide for the family that God's given you so that you can continue to be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm married, yes, and your marriage is supposed to be a great reflection of Christ in the church. Yeah, but I do a service ministry at the church that doesn't ever see anybody so that we can reach more people, whether you interact with them or not, so that we can reach more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything we have comes back to the gospel. And when Jesus is not the reason why we do what we do, then we're in danger of finding ourselves like Martha found herself, complaining about so-and-so because they're not like me. Father, I pray that you bless us. Our ladies are going to come and play. It's hymn number 326, Divina, Miss Mariana, instead of the one you have. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Maybe they told you that. That song tells us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. Our problem is not that we're doing too much serving. That's not at all it. Our problem is that sometimes we forget why we serve. And why we serve is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, maybe you've been trying to labor in your own power. You did it with the right motives to begin with, but you've forgotten. And you've been looking at other people. Why aren't they? Or why are they? And that hymn writer put it like this, "Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free." If you're a Christian and you've been laboring in drudgery, my friend, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ. If you're here today and not sure that you're saved, my friend, you certainly need to come to Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Life has gotten dull and dreadful, depressing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you're able to, for just a moment, would you stand together? Brother Daniel's going to come and lead us in a verse or two of this song, and I'm going to be down front. If you need to be saved, my friend, I trust that you'd come. And if you're here, you're saved, and you've been serving, but you've been serving in your own power. You've been laboring, and it has really been a labor. My friend, you need to start looking again at the Savior and realizing why you do what you do. There's people in their marriage and in their family, and they're ready to call it quits because they've only been seeing what other people are or not doing. They're forgetting to look to the Savior.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light for abundant and free.
Door today, if you've been living in that labored, overwhelmed status like Martha was, that you'd remember to look to Christ. And thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask Brother Philip and his wife and daughter if they wouldn't mind to slip back to the lobby. I hope that you'll get by and get a prayer card from them. They certainly need your prayers. They are engaged. Their country that they're serving in, working for, is the largest nation in our world, and they desperately need the gospel. And I'm so grateful they'll be traveling back here just in the coming weeks. And so we're grateful for them. Hope you'll stop by and see them, get a prayer card. And then also Brother Holt should be out in the lobby as well. He went to Spanish church just for a little bit. But thank you so much for being in church with us. And I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to close us in prayer. Amy and I will be out in the lobby as well. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to stop by. And we're looking forward to next week. We're going to look for God's great working next week. Brother Gibbs will be here with us, and we thank him for that. Come back tonight. You're invited to 6:30 this evening. I'm going to preach from the same passage, a different message, but I think that it seems like the Lord would have me preach there just a little bit more tonight. So if you want to read through that again and be ready, we'll have a good time in the house of the Lord.
Father, we thank you so much for the day you've given to us today. Lord, it is great to be in your house. It's great to come and, Lord, just be around your people and to serve together. Lord, we want to keep our eyes upon you. We want to serve you as we serve together, as we try to get your work done and your will accomplished. Bless this church, Lord, as we go out. Help us have a great afternoon and the service tonight, Lord, and all that goes around it. I pray you just anoint it. Help us have a wonderful day together. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.